Wonderful. So I don't know if you guys know this. She just told me she lived in Richards Bay for 10 years. What did you know that? What are the chances? I mean, it's like this strange little town up north in the middle of nowhere. But it's the best place to live in the world. So if you feel like you're not 100% sure if you should be here, the weather's always warm. It currently right now is probably 26 degrees, sunny. The sea water is about 24. You don't need to wear a wetsuit if you surf. But we're also there for the kingdom. So, you know, the holy things. But wonderful to be here. Thanks for having us, Joey and Donna. It's been a really amazing time. We've been here for 2 weeks. We are heading home this afternoon. We're beginning our trip. It's about 2,200 kilometers to drive with 4 kids and a wife. So she looks so young that people look at my daughters, my oldest daughters, and they think she's my second wife, but she's my first wife, because we've got these two, and we've got two little ones as well. 10-year gap between them, and for the most part. But yeah, just so cool to be with you guys, and I'm excited this morning. I feel like the Lord is he's wanting to like, you know, we often say like the Lord is like a lion roaring over us, but I feel the Lord is kind of wanting to shout over you this morning, and wanting to shake you as his people, and not just shake you awake and give you a few claps, but just like almost shout over you the purposes that he has for your life. Amen. There's a purpose God has created you for. The Bible says he knitted you together in your mother's womb before the foundations of the earth. Who would like to think that he put great care towards creating the world, the earth? Yeah, would you say that? But the Bible doesn't say he knitted the world together. He spoke it into being. But he knitted you together. Have you ever thought of that before? So he took great care. There's a sense of detail. Like knitting is not something I can do. I used to be able to, believe it or not. Don't know why I could do that, but anyway. But it's detail, certain methods, stitch by stitch, he brought you together. And the problem with us as human beings is we lose focus and we lose sight very quickly. Amen? And we live our lives as if we've got forever to live. And then sometimes, because of the Lord's kindness and his goodness towards us, he gives us a bit of a wake-up call to give us a sort of like a skrik, like, hey, you've only got one life. You don't know when it's going to end. And although I'm not a prophet of doom this morning, it's the truth that you don't know when your last breath would be. But for some reason, we're conditioned in a world that just, it keeps us hopeless, with no purpose, and thinking like we don't have to do anything about it because we've got forever to sort our lives out. Amen? And so if you're sitting here this morning, you're sort of like, I don't know what the next step is. I don't know what the next thing is. Let me just tell you one thing. It's sort of like normal, but it's not okay. It's okay that you feel like that, but it's not okay to stay like that. And I'm trusting that this morning the Lord Jesus is going to come breathe fresh life into us. And when I say us, I include myself in that. Fresh life into us, because he has a purpose for your life on this earth. You were not just saved to one day be with Jesus in heaven. You were saved to be reconciled to your living Father in heaven, to live a life on this earth that displays the purposes that God has for you. Amen. So recently there was a little movie that came out that I haven't watched, just for you that have also not watched it. I can't really say if all the parts of it is good or not, but my wife watched it and she doesn't watch bad things. So, and my daughters watched it. So there's this movie, it's called Puss in Boots. Who's watched the newest one? There's three, eh? Amazing. So many adults putting up their hands. And it's the newest one. It's number three, eh? What is it? Number two, number three. Where are we at now? Love? Number three. Two. Whatever. The newest one, okay? 2025. And in this movie, the cat, he sort of like, it depicts all these times where he just lived his little cat life, you know? And sort of like he's dying a lot in this movie. Well, in the first part of it, he keeps losing a life, and it shows these ridiculous things that he does. He falls off a building or, I don't know, I didn't watch the movie, but all I know is the principle is he kept dying. And then at one point, whether it's the Grim Reaper or whatever it is, just shows up. He says, hey, puss, you don't have much time to live. You got one life left. You know, like you play TV games, you got three lives, and then you win some through getting more points, and then you're not as careful in playing the game because you got many lives. So you make mistakes until you get your last one, because in your subconscious, you keep thinking, hey, I've still got six lives. If you love playing Super Mario Brothers like me, if you know how to get the coins, if you get 100 coins, you get another life. Yes? So eventually, I'm so good at that game, I know all the secrets, I've got like seven lives. But there's many stages to get through, and each stage has a challenge, and it's difficult, and it's hard, and I could die over a really unforeseen moment. I don't know when it's going to be, but I keep playing the game because I've got many lives, and I'm careless until I've only got one left, and then suddenly, I become careful. And so in this movie, the Grim Reaper, or whatever he is, says, hey, cat, you got only one life live, and suddenly, he gets perspective on his life. Suddenly, he's like, oh my word, I got to be more careful. How many of you can resonate with the fact that you wake up every morning not thinking, Lord, I got one life to live. I've got to give you everything I've got because I don't have a reset button. But you realize even now, you live as if you've got some sort of a magical reset button. And many of us do have, as I said earlier, the Lord's mercy towards us that wakes us up. Maybe a near-death experience in a car accident or a health challenge or suddenly your finances get touched in a radical way or a person close to you dies. You're like, oh my word, I didn't see that coming. He was like 40 years old, died of a heart attack. And in a moment you're like, whoa, life is fragile. But it touches you for like all of 5 days and then you're back to your old habits. You live your life like, that's not my story. So the message this morning really to you is, do you live your life like you've got one? You don't have life. You don't have none. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I ain't no cat. You and me have one life. Okay, that was a short sentence. You guys are saying long sentences. So there's this saying, and I felt the scripture for you, and Mariki, I'm so sorry. I am that guy that brings in scriptures, lastminute.com, but you're in Josh Jen, so I think you're used to it. So I felt the scripture for you guys that kind of ties in with my message this morning. But there's a saying that goes, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. So there's a little bit of a secular saying, like, because it kind of talks about social justice and the evil that's in the world and all those kinds of things, but it's actually in some ways very relevant to us as Christians, because whatever is not yielded to the Lord's lordship, whatever in our lives that's not submitted to Him, that He has full reign over in our lives, is a passage and a way for evil to begin to come into our own lives. Do you get that? There's no like gray area. There's evil and then there's good. And for some reason, the world's gotten it right. And again, I shared with some young people last week at a different congregation. I see there's lots of young people here. There's only young people here, by the way, actually, from what I can see. Because some of you are still about to live your best lives. Because you realize I've only got one life, so you're going to change your perspective on life and live your best life from today onwards. Amen? Amen? And I said to them, you guys live in a generation where gray is really big. Black and white is very difficult to find. Everything's okay, everything's fine, and that's why I love Gavin's word about compromise. Some of us are so riddled with compromise in our lives because we go, I'll deal with this. I know it's an area of compromise. My thought patterns, my behavior, the things I believe, the things I don't believe, I know it's compromise, but I've got time to sort it out. And what you don't realize is that you're a holy priesthood, a holy people, chosen by a living God for holiness to triumph in your life. for the kingdom of God to come through your life. And you've got one life to live the life that he called you to live. The word says, live a life worthy of the gospel. It means that because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he died on a cross, he went to the grave, he rose again on the third day. You shared in a death like his, but also a resurrection like his. And many of us only live in half the gospel. I'm saved to one day be in eternity, but you don't live that I'm resurrected with him too, to live a life of holiness that pleases my God. Do you get me? And so you live according to half the gospel. And evil's actually triumphing in your life. A holy people. So all that is necessary for evil to triumph in your life is for a holy people to do nothing. You're a holy people. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Say this of yourself, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him that called you out of darkness and into this wonderful light. He didn't just call you out of darkness into some weird abyss. He called you into light. From dark to light. Stop living in the in-between. In-between. What is that? All that the enemy needs to triumph in your life is for you to do nothing with your life. This morning, I pray that we are provoked, that be like, I'm done doing nothing with my life because of fear, because of worry, because of concerns, because of a lack of faith that I've actually got a call of God over my life, or you don't feel like you have purpose, or this morning, this afternoon almost, it is afternoon, I pray in Jesus' name that he would come and break down every wall that you've built up that's man-made, that keeps you separated from the call of God over your life. In Jesus' name. I pray that in Jesus' name, scales of lies that the enemy has allowed to grow over your eyes will fall off in the Holy Spirit, in his presence, in Jesus' name. And if that's you, I want to even ask you, as I'm preaching, to say, Lord, I cannot see what he's saying, but I know that there's something to it. I don't know how it's going to work in my life, but I know there's something about my life that's stopping the flow and the call of God to come and be established in my life. This morning, Holy Spirit, whatever that looks like, just right now as you sit here, just Holy Spirit, come and help break down those walls, break down those scales over my life, my eyes, because I've got one life to live, and I want to live it worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're a church called to bring havoc in an unholy world. You are here for a purpose. So there's this car manufacturer. I brought some slides, and I don't put it up yet, Mariki. I love that name. It's such a cool name. If I was going to have another child, I don't know. But we're done. There's this car manufacturer, they've got this slogan. Now, I'm not going to say what the car manufacturer's name is, but I think you might know by just looking at the slogan. And I often wondered why that slogan, it's strange. But I want to use it quickly. So if you may, just put up the first little slide there. It says, one life, live it. So what it kind of says is, hey, you got one life, you better make sure you live your best life. I mean, it's kind of like a trending statement at the moment. Living my best life. Who here has recently, come on, be honest, put up a status on your WhatsApp status thing that makes a little green circle that says, living my best life? Because you were somewhere that looks nice on a wine farm and you look like you're living a glamorous life, but it's... Joey says it's a Natal thing. I don't know. Anyway... Come on, be honest, be vulnerable. Living my best life. Yeah, you guys are, none of you are honest. But what this kind of builds towards is like, hey, drive this incredibly unreliable, uneconomical vehicle that you'll be ridiculed for that loses 50% in its value every year. Because you've only got one life to live. Live your best life. Okay? Can you tell that I drive a Toyota? And so what it then makes you buy this vehicle, And then you live your best life. You buy your boots and you go on your camping trips on your solo self. And then this kind of happens to you. It looks amazing because you bought so many accessories that you can't afford because you want to live your best life, but you're still on your own because you're living your best life. One life, live it. And then if you give yourself continuously to this one life, my best life, and it's just about me living my best life because why not, then this often happens to you. Slide number 3. One life, lived it. And your life that's so about you has turned into a hearse. It killed you. It brought you nothing. Do you check? There's a casket in the back of the thing. There's something for us as Christians to learn in this thing because it's like you get selfish. It's my life. I'm going to live my life my way. And I'm going to compromise no matter what I need to compromise in order to live the kind of life that I want to live. You can take that thing off. Thanks. It's enough. You can put up a photo of a fortune quickly and then we'll all feel better. No, I'm kidding. Those are good cars. If I could afford it, I would buy one. But you get what I'm saying to you. You got a purpose on this earth that's not just about you. The Lord's brought you about into His kingdom, into His household as a son and a daughter of the living God. He's adopted you as an orphan to become a son in His house for a purpose that's not just your own. You've got a purpose, but we have a purpose. And it's about a hard time that we begin to go, man, I got one life to live and I'm going to do whatever I can in order to sort out whatever I need to sort out because I don't know when my last day would be. Because I have a very real master and king and Lord that's going to come back at one time and I don't know when that's going to be. And He's going to say, hey, I gave you some stuff in your life. What did you do with what I gave you? Amen? You got one life to do that. And you don't have to worry, wait to get married and have kids and have a big career. And I see so many people, young people. That's why earlier I said young people. Stop waiting for your wife to come along for you to then become faithful with the things that God has given you to do because you need to get married first. Let me tell you, if you can't be faithful now as a single person, as a married person, you're going to drag someone else into your unfaithfulness. Sort yourself out now. Boys and girls, as teenagers living in your parents' house, man, begin to work out and grapple for yourself. What are the values of God that you want to see established in your life? Because you're not going to somehow magically just appear to be some grown-up adult that just knows how to be faithful in the house of God. Start now. Cheap as if it's making your bed in the morning. Let that be the thing that you do. If you get 100 rand a week pocket money, and you're struggling with, you need 120 rand, well, give the Lord 10 rand first. Be faithful with what you are giving. So many people go, well, if I get my 10,000 rand a month one day, which nowadays is not much, if I can earn my 10 grand, then I will tithe. Let me tell you, if you cannot tithe on your 100 bucks, you're not going to tithe on your 10 grand. It's a certainty. You cannot afford your way into giving. You faith your way because you've been given something, and before your master, you want to say, Lord, I will give you back what you've given me. I'm not going to afford my way into it. It's a lie from the pits of hell. I'm kind of going all over the place here, but jeez, man. So you've got a call in the Lord, and I've got a call that's actually all the same. It's called our general calling as God's people. And then the Lord gives specific gifts. He gives to Chief a gift. And He gives to Joey a gift. And He gives to Gavin a gift. And He gives to my daughters a gift. Specifically, as the word is, according to the grace God has placed over their lives. But the thing that remains the same is that we also have the same gift and the same gift and the same gift because the Lord wants to do something through us. And sometimes we want to have that special grace gift, that preaching, prophesy, teaching, correcting, leading gift, but we neglect to grab a hold of a primary call in God. And some of you are sitting here going, well, I don't even know what my primary call is. I thought that that grace gift was it. I thought that was all of it. Amen? What do you mean primary core? What does that mean? I'm speaking myself thirsty here. You see, we read Romans 12 about the gifts, but we never read Corinthians 13 about love. I don't know if I want to go here. I will go here, but then we'll go somewhere else. How much time do I have? I won't take too much time. You see, we read Romans 12. We have different gifts. Do you want to know what your gift in the Lord is? Guys, come on. You're at church on a Sunday. You could be having lunch right now. Do you want to know what your gift in the Lord is? Okay, that's great. So you want to read Romans 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is to prophesy, then prophesy. If it is in accordance with your faith, if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. In other words, we've all been given a gift by the grace of God as He determines it. It's not up to you. Did you build a puzzle on Wednesday night? Did you get to choose the piece that you were given? The Lord gives you a piece in the bigger picture of who He is to be built into that area where He wants you to be built in. It's not up to you to go, but I don't like my piece. I want to be a different piece. You're going to spend your life trying to live your best life as opposed to living the life worthy of the call of God over your life. Because some of you might be the least little weird, obscure, strange piece of puzzle that no one knows where you fit. But you live your life poured out before the living King every day, straining forward so that the Lord may build you into His picture. And the Lord looks at it and He goes, all you corner pieces that think you're so important because there's only four of you. Because no matter how big a puzzle is, there's only four corners. So you do feel special. I can stand up here and I can go, I'm a corner piece. I feel so special because there's very few guys that preach. Compared to the amount of people that are called to much bigger things that don't preach. And you go, I want to be a corner piece. And the Lord goes, you corner piece, you better be so faithful with the things I put on your life because this little obscure, strange piece that fits in here, right now I look upon them and I'm way more pleased with them because I've given you something you're not even faithful as being a corner piece. Everyone sees you and they all know about you, but that one. Some of us are called to be weird, obscure, strange, and just, but man, we pour ourselves out for our Lord and His Lordship and His kingdom. Amen. We're going to get over ourselves and living our best lives because the kind of best life that the Lord has for us to live looks very different to the way we think it looks. I shared my story last week, I think, I touched on this with you guys. For those of you that don't know, I'm gonna take the accolade for it. We could have just waited until we get to heaven for you all to know, but I'll just tell you now. So Life Cafe, I actually started Life Cafe. Did you know that? Some of you don't know that. I started Life, no, you don't have to applause. It was a struggle in itself, don't worry. I started Life Cafe, newly married. My wife's pregnant. I've got 2,000 rand in the cash box, and I've got a little space back there to start a business. I'm like, oh my word, Lord. I used to earn 15K a month back then. Now I've got nothing. I've got 2,000 bucks in the cash box. I don't know how this is going to work. But I know that this is what the Lord's given me now. And before that even, I knew that there was a call of God over my life. And I knew that I was going to be doing what I'm doing right now. I knew it. I felt it. No one told it to me. No one prophesied it to me. But I just, you know when you just know something, but you can't put your finger on it. You know how it's going to work out. It seems like, oh my word, Lord, there's no way. Because I know me, and I know you know me. And I know that you know me, and I know that I know me. And what do you see? Because I don't see what you see. Amen? But I know that there's just something. And it's not arrogance. It's just I know that the Lord is doing something. And so I'm in this church, and I'm back there. I'm making muffins at 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning, but in my heart, my biggest heart's desire, I just want to be up here. I want to not lead worship. I can't play guitar, but it's another story. but I want to be doing this. But I'm not doing this. I'm back there getting that shop ready so that when the people of God that have been in his presence and worship and come out glowing like angels and go, that was the best time in God's presence I've ever felt. And I'm like, oh, I would have loved to have been there. But I'm back here making pizza bases. I was like, but Lord, I know. But right now, what have you put in my hands? You've given me a gift to serve, so I will serve diligently. Diligently. And so I served. 5 years I served. Then after I served, that season ended, and the Lord asked me to do something else. And then he asked me to do something else. And I will tell you that it was 12 years of knowing that there was a call of God over my life, but faithfully doing everything I can in the season he's giving me to do it, that 12 years later, when the Lord brings it about and says, hey, I want you to move to a different town that no one knows its name. There's nothing going on there that's of obvious sort of reason for you to move there. There's not so big financial benefit you're going to step into. In fact, it just cost me a whole lot of money. And the Lord says, I want you to move up north, submit it to my elders. And they go, you seem to really have the faith for this. We don't understand why the Lord's calling you. It makes sense, so go. So we go, we get there, and you all know the rest of the story. Couldn't find a healthy church to plug into. I thought a church was a church. A church is not a church, by the way. I was ignorant. I thought all churches were like Josh Jen, because I grew up here spiritually. And so the Lord starts speaking, hey, I want you to plant something. And I'm like, okay, cool, who are you going to send? Andrew says, no, well, the Lord sent you, remember? He spoke to you. I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I get flown down to a gathering, Josh Jen gathering. I get ordained as an elder. Not lucky packet elder. They checked me out. Don't worry. Checked that I complied with the qualifications of an elder. It's not because there was no one else, but there was a sense of this is God's call. And so my years of feeling I'm called to more, but I'm diligent in serving because that's what I've been called to do now. Not 3 years. 12 years. And you all know Merv, old Mervster. He sings and sings nice things to people. And a powerful, very good friend of mine, by the way. That's why I can call him Merv. So I'd never spoken a word to him in my life. I've seen him lead worship. But because he hears the Lord, he gets into my car. I'm picking him up in Durban at a venue to come and be with us our first Sunday, 7th of Feb, 2016. And he's about to come be there as a lead, as a prophetic voice and apostolic gift, just to be with our first service. I've never, ever said to my wife how I've wrestled and felt overlooked and this season is hard and I'm remaining faithful, but I'm losing direction and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm hoping for more and I'll do what I think is less, but actually it's not less, but I'll do it anyway. I remain faithful. I feel overlooked and a bit despondent. Never told my wife those things all the years that I was here. Not once. And Merv gets into my car and he, as he does with affection, like slaps my thigh. He says, I want you to know that the Lord says he kept you hidden all those years because he knew the moment and the time he was going to bring about the call he has for your life. And I start crying, obviously. And I think, oh God, you're so good. You didn't have to do that. Because I was happy to not hear that, but you're so kind and so good that you just go, hey, I saw you all those years. Some of you need to just rest in the fact that the Lord is seeing you all these years when others don't see you. Just remain faithful with what he's placed in your hand. Now you got one life. And even if no one ever sees. He knows. Do you get this? It's like the Lord wants to go, like, stop. Stop just coming here just to be here. Stop just coming to hover and idle. Come here powering. Like, where's Jean and Lynn? I was earlier when Lynn brought a word. I felt the Lord just take you as a couple and say, run, guys. Run. Like, even you guys, you've been here for so long. And the Lord is doing so many incredible things in your lives. I feel like the Lord's saying, just run. There's more, you've never there. Like, even coming into eldership, it's not it. Being a comm group leader, like, it's not it. Run. But do what is needed to be done in your life so you can run. Because some of us are living with areas of compromise and they're stopping us from running. They're making you feel disqualified. When you're not disqualified, you just know you need to do some things to be used. Deal with your stuff. Deal with your stuff. Whatever it is. I want to read a passage of scripture to you quickly, and then I'm going to land. Are you guys okay? I felt on Wednesday night, I felt like there's something so special God wants to do in you as a congregation. But jeez, man, it's going to take every single one of you. And you know, like, I mean, I lead a team of 9 elders. And they're wonderful men. I can honestly say they're probably some of my best friends, which is God's grace to me. I love them. I love their character. I love who they are. But yes, like, I even as leaders, as elders, there's moments where you see things in your life. You see your area of marriage that you need to work on. You see the finances that you need to sort out. You see the parenting thing you need to sort out. You see whatever it is, you see it. You see it's holding you back. You've momentarily, like, envisioned, and it's so short, and you're back to where you were. Because you stop fighting. And sometimes, even this morning, I'm concerned that you're provoked because I'm stirring your emotions and not your heart. That you're not going, I'm hearing, I'm seeing, I resonate with what he's saying. I believe it. I want to grab a hold of it. And so emotionally, you're tickled and you're like, yes, 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 until tomorrow morning. No, think about it, and you stop fighting. I don't get to get the platform that I have today because I just emotionally am invigorated all the time. I've learned what it looks like to stand in difficult times and fight for the things that God has called me to. I've learned to stand and fight and still advance in difficult times. Sometimes the Lord brings you into difficult times because he wants to teach you how to fight. It's not the enemy attacking you. It's the Lord allowing some stuff so that you can learn how to fight because he's got a call for your life. You can't move backwards every time life gets hard because life is hard. People are messed up. They hurt you. They talk about you. The economics in the world is messed up. It's upside down. You're going to be touched financially at some point. It's not the devil attacking you. Embrace it. Like, this is the season God has put you in. Embrace it. Stop wishing it away. It might just be the very thing God uses to mold and shape you, to bring you into what he has for you. You're wishing it away prolongs you stepping into it. Don't sidestep. Is this okay? Like, I know this is okay. I know this is good. I know this is the Lord's. No. I just, because sometimes guys are like, he seems insecure because he keeps asking us if it's okay. I'm more kind of inadvertently asking, are you okay? And that's what you're hearing. That's kind of what I'm more checking. I know it's good. No, you know what I mean. I don't, whatever. You know what I mean. So there's this passage, and I want to read this to you. It's 16 verses. So just bear with me. Stay with me. And I want that if you do not have, if you're here this morning and you're a visitor, there was an analogy I used on Wednesday night with regards to a puzzle. I want to implore you. Is that the right word? Strongly encourage. Okay? Go to someone that seems like they're a leader and say, hey, I feel like there's a, okay, we'll show you who the leaders are just now. Okay? Because maybe you're seeing something into the future. We don't know. Go to someone and say, hey, I wasn't here on Wednesday night. Can you explain to me this thing about the puzzle? And hey, I want a puzzle piece. I hope the rest of you all have your puzzle piece. If you don't, please can you go find it again? Because I feel like it's not some weird trinket. It's like it's symbolic of how little care we place in the fact that it signifies the fact that we are a part of something. We're supposed to be built into something. And that's what you've been given. Do with that what you can do with that. For the time that the Lord's given you to do something with that. So there's this passage, Matthew 25, verse 14. This is quite a scary little portion of scripture, I believe personally. Because it keeps me in a place where I constantly say, Lord, what are you doing? And am I doing what you want me to do? And is there stuff that I am doing that stands in the way of what you want me to be doing? You get it? So Matthew 25, verse 14. Oh, Mariki, I'm so sorry. I didn't give this to you. So I'm kind of taking another, just so you know, I've very rarely followed my notes this morning. I've taken two preachers now in the last minute and I've put them together because I felt like this is very relevant for you as a congregation. I believe, I've come to know in the last few months that I think there's a very, very close line between contentment and being faithful. Because if I'm content with what I have now, I'm going to do my best with what I have now. If I'm constantly discontent, I'm not going to be very faithful with what I have because I'm going to wait until I have more before I do anything with what I have now. Do you get me? And so I believe that if you can find something called godly contentment, you're going to suddenly have open eyes to what the Lord has put in your hands right now, and you're going to do something with what you've got now, still with a hope of more, because there's always more, but faithful with the now. Amen. And so, unfortunately, the world and social media and WhatsApps and Facebook, which is apparently for old people, but Insta, because I'm on Insta because I'm young, and so, no, we're not on social media, actually. But it panders towards a generation to be discontent all the time because they're seeing other people live lives that are actually not real. And so you're constantly living at your own, looking at your own life, looking at their life, and you go, well, I want to live that life, but that life's not real either. So you go, well, I'm not going to live my life because I want to live that life. So until I live that life, I'm not going to live my life. And then you start posting things that are not true either because you want other people to look at your life and feel the same way. Instead of just going, well, this is my life, I'm going to live my best life so that I can be living a life worthy of the gospel. Faithfulness and contentment. I believe the Lord wants us to say this morning, Lord, I'm content, grateful for what you've given me, and I'm going to do my best now. So Matthew 25, verse 14, I've probably said this about 7 times already. Again, it'll be like a man, verse 14, going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave, say, 5 bags. No, come on, hello. 5 bags of gold. To another he gave 2 bags, and to another 1. Okay, so who feels that seems unfair? Be honest. Come on, like why? Okay? You must read your Bible, not like you're so holy. You read it through what's real for you. It doesn't seem fair. Okay. To another 1 bag. But now it's this clincher. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And I've often wondered, is it because he understood that the master gave according to someone else's ability a bit more, and so he was unhappy with his ability, and so he did nothing with his ability? Because he just wanted more ability to handle 5 bags of gold. So he did nothing with the 1. After a long time, verse 19, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags brought the 5, and the master said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold, so I have gained 5 more. After a long time, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. How many of you want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant? How many of you want to hear? I want to hear the Lord say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. But as much as I want that, I assess my life to look at when He looks at my life right now, not as if I've got 9 lives 9 years later, right now, because He might come back right now. I don't know. Will He say to me now? Some of us need to assess our lives. If the Lord had to come back now, would He say, well done, good and faithful servant? No, I'm just going to wait for the church camp and then the Lord's going to deal with my heart and I'm going to begin to... No, I'm just going to wait for the next 412 conference because we live from event to event. When every morning the Lord's mercies are new for you, He renews your mind daily. So the things that tripped you up yesterday, today He can bring victory and freedom. Amen. Where was I? 2 bags. His master replied, well done. Isn't it incredible that the master was as pleased with the one with 2 as he was with the one with 5? What's the principle? It's not, he doesn't care how much he gave you. He cares what you did with what he gave you. He was as pleased. He wasn't more pleased with the 5 than 2. He was pleased with what was given back to him. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge with many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man harvesting. We have not sown and gathering. We have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The problem is that the Lord looked at it and he goes, no, what belongs to me is more than just the 1. What belongs to me is what you did with what I gave you. That's what the servant missed. He thought, no, if I just give him back what he gave me, then I'm giving him all of what he deserves, all of what belongs to him. He's like, no, what belongs to me is more. It belongs to him. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that then I returned and I would have received it back with interest. Verse 28, so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10. Does that seem fair? He already had 10. Now he has 11. Simple math. And then verse 29, and I want to ask you, how many of you have ever read this? I thought, it makes no sense to me. Maybe you just really understand the Bible in a different way, but I had to grapple with this. For whoever has will be given more. That's a good principle. It makes sense. I'm faithful. The Lord will add more. All right? He'll give me more, as he did with the servant. He gave him 5. He multiplied it, and he said, oh, that's yours. Because you get that he allowed the servant to keep it because he said, give the 1 to the one that has 10. So it means that he didn't take it away. He kept it. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. And then verse 30, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Just to full stop. Boom. It's like quite hectic. But whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken away from them. Have you ever asked yourself, how is it possible that what I don't have can be taken away from me? Who's ever thought of this before? How many of you think like this is strange? This doesn't make sense. And it dawned on me That what it's actually saying is, the one that does not have, it's not that he doesn't have, because he had one. But he did not have according to him. Why? Because he kept looking at the one that had five and the one that had two. So what he did have will be taken away. He had, but to him he didn't have. What does it speak about? It speaks of discontentment. It speaks of you constantly want more and want more, but you don't know what you have. And so you do nothing with what you have because to you, you don't have. And this morning the Lord is saying, wake up. You have. Do something with what you have. So I can take what you have that you're doing something with, so I can multiply and say, come and share in your master's glory because you're doing something with what you do have. Stop living your life like you have nothing, because there will be a time where I take even that away from you. If you're constantly living in a state of, I don't have enough, I don't speak well enough, I don't, like, whatever it is, I don't earn enough, I don't, not strong enough in my gift, I'm not, whatever it is that you're constantly unhappy with, whatever area, finances, yourself, health, how you look, which is very lame, but it is lame, man. But like whatever area that you're constantly discontent in, you've got to fight. You've got to fight. You can't wait for it to change. You've got to fight. The only way it's going to change is if you fight. And not fight by getting the result that you want. Fight by doing something with what you do have. It's not gonna get better if you just suddenly wake up and go, jeez, I didn't know I looked like Brad Pitt. Because now that I look like him, now I'll be happy. No, you're just going to feel like, oh my word, what is a younger version of Brad Pitt nowadays? I don't know. Good looking guy, actor. I don't even know. No, bro, he looks weird. You get what I'm saying? The bar will just keep moving. You think you're getting a result that you want. It's just going to be, you've been given one bag of gold. You've taken four illegitimate bags of gold from someone else or somewhere else, or forced it into your life, and it's not for you. You become a slave to that thing. And the Lord's going, I don't care if you're faithful with five. I've given you one. Be faithful with the one. So let me open up my other preach again. What is the Lord place in your life now? Some of us need to maybe again ask the Lord for the sensitivity and the spirit to be able to see what He's placed in our hands. Some of us have been hopeless for so long, we don't know how to dream anymore. You're just coasting through life. You're just doing what needs to be done, finishing your studies, or just at the end of this year, I might get that promotion. I want to say to you, stop living for your career. Your career is never going to say, thank you, we've received enough from your time and enough from you. And your boss is never going to come to you in a corporate setting and saying, hey, thanks for all your hard work. Please stop working so hard. Never. Never. The more you give yourself there, the more it's going to ask you. It's going to demand its pound of flesh from you nonstop, nonstop. In the Lord's house, what has He given you? Some of you are sitting on gifts. Some of you are sitting on gifts. And some of you have actually forgotten that you've got a gift. You've got something. You have a purpose. Your first general calling, which I actually never even touched on. Jesus prayed this prayer. Oh, I need to land. Jesus prayed this prayer. I mean, of all the things He can pray just before He's about to be crucified. Think about it. All the things He can pray, He prays this. Lord, may I be in them and You in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that You sent me and have loved them even as You have loved me. Our general calling is to love one another in such a way that we become the perfect picture that Jesus died on the cross for, that Jesus wants us to display to the world. The world's supposed to look at us and go, you are evidence that Jesus lives. Because if I look at you You've got no in the natural thing that joins you together, but Jesus and his life and your love for his life and your love for his life and your life is the thing that brings you to perfect unity. Yes, you can, what's the word when you make someone angry? No. Offend. Yes, man. I want to say to you this morning, if you want to come against the call of God for your life, sit with offense. Just make a space in your heart for offense. Ah, I should have been there already. I should be doing this. That person spoke to me like this. That person shouldn't have dealt with me like this. Why do I not feel accepted and loved? Every time I come here, no one speaks to me. Like, stop living from a place of offense. Because your first and primary call is to be one of the people in the house of God to love when no one loves you. To give when no one else deserves it. Because that's how Jesus loves you. That's how he loves you. So your primary call is if someone offends you, love them. Love them. Someone hurts you, deal with it, go to them, speak to them, sort it out, and then deal with them as if it'll never happen again. Because 1 Corinthians 13, one of the many things it says, love keeps no record of wrongs. So you don't start dealing with a person through a filter. It's as if it's the first time. Our general call in the house of God is to love one another the way that Jesus loves us. First command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. What does it mean? It's hard. It's hard. It means there's things I've got to do in my life to position myself continuously to love him with all my heart. Do you get that? Doesn't just happen like that. And then the second is like it, to love your neighbor like you love yourself. I think very few of us can say we love others the way we love ourselves. It's your primary call. If something's standing in your way to love people the way that God calls you to love, deal with it. It might just be standing against the call of God for your life. Forgiveness. You don't have the luxury as a Christian to harbor unforgiveness. You don't. You don't. You might think, I just want to get over my feelings. You do not. The Lord actually says, I will not forgive you if you do not forgive those that have sinned against you. Do you know that? As a Christian, you do not have the luxury. And then more than that, it comes against the call of God of your life. The primary call, to love people. So in response, maybe if the worship guys can come up, do you want to land, Joe? I know we went long this morning, but I feel like this is maybe something a lot of guys say that just preach too long. But I feel like this is key for you guys. I've been asked, I didn't say like, hey, I've got a free weekend, I want to come preach here. I've actually been asked to come preach here as an external voice. I'm a part of the same field as you. I'm a part of 412. I would still say I'm a Josh Jenner, but I've moved on from being a Josh Jenner because it's better, it's different. I've been moved on. So as an external voice, I come going, Lord, what do you want to say to these people? What am I carrying right now? What do you want to do with these people right now? And this message is grab a hold of that, as Paul prayed. I have not yet obtained all this yet. I grab a hold of that for which Christ Jesus grabbed a hold of me for. This morning, some of you need to go, I need to stand up, stand to my feet. I need to fight. I need to say, I'm going through a hard time. This is difficult. I feel discontent all the time. So contentment is going to be my fight. Some of you here, I believe, this morning you're going to go, I'm going to stop waiting for a better result. I'm going to begin to do everything I can with what I have right now. I'm going to fight for godly contentment. My supernatural contentment came when I was my lowest space of my life, ever. I had nothing. And the Lord said to me, if this is all you have for the rest of your life, will you still do everything you can to live the life that I called you to live? And I knew in that moment, I just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. With no guarantee that my circumstances were going to change. And they didn't change for years. And I praise God for that. Because in those years, He formed me and shaped me and taught me what it looks like to be stressed and worry, but still say, but Lord, my God, You've called me. There's things that You want to do. Years, not just suddenly like He's a genie in a bottle and I just have the right prayer in a moment and everything gets sorted. Some of us need to go, Lord, I know this is my area of discontentment. I'm done. Today, I'm done. This will no longer define my joy in You. This will no longer define whether I wake up in the morning full of faith to say, I'm going to take what I do have this morning and do everything I can. And if this word resonates with you, I want to ask you to stand just where you are right now as a symbolism that you are standing to say, Lord, I want to learn what it looks like to stand and fight in the kingdom of my God. And if it's hard, praise God. If it's easy, praise God. This morning, I want to say, Jesus, You have called me for a purpose bigger than me. You've called me for something that far outweighs the biggest things that I can imagine for my own life. There's a song that goes, it's going to be wild. It's going to be great. But most of all, it's going to be for Him. It's not for you. It's not your one life. Live your one life. It's His one life. You live it, worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this morning, Father, just as these people are standing and responding, they're not just standing because everyone else is standing. And I want you to, even where you're standing right now, as a warrior in the Lord, as one that's been a chosen person, you're a chosen holy priesthood in God, destined to do things in God. Grab a hold of it this morning. Grab a hold of it. Say to yourself, Lord, just between You and Him, Lord, I choose this morning to grab a hold of that for which You've grabbed a hold of me. Lord, I'm going to be vigilant to tear off. The word says to throw off all things that so easily entangles me. Envision those things this morning. Say, Lord, that thing, whatever that is, I throw it off. That compromise, I throw it off. It is entangling me to run in the things of God for my life. I choose this morning to throw it off. I choose to fight. I choose to go. I choose to run. Just between You and Lord, You and the Lord. And why don't you, just where you're standing, just begin to pray out loud. Say, Father, come. Would You come and fill me with new faith? Lord, if you feel like you've lost vision for your life, Lord Jesus, come and break the scales over my eyes right now in Jesus' name. If you know that there's a sense of resistance all the time, Lord, break down the walls that I've built. I want to break them down this morning. Just You and the Lord. If you can't fight right now, you're not going to go home this afternoon and wake up tomorrow morning and fight. Right now, this moment is for you to fight in the Lord. If you're responding, you should be crying out to Jesus saying, Lord, would You come right now? Come do a work in me. And I'm going to ask the guys just to lead us in a song, but I don't want you to come out of your chairs. I want you just where you are, because we so easily just move on. Okay, I'm now going to come worship. Why? If you're responding, where you are, Lord, I'm going to fight. These things that are going on in my heart right now, I'm going to fight. These areas of discontentment, this area of stress, this area of worry, my feeling like it's just not enough. Lord, I'm going to fight just right now. As the guys lead us in the song, can we just respond to Jesus? If you want to worship or get on your knees or whatever it is, let's do business with the Lord.